Have you ever felt that success must be somewhere else, in another city, another job, or another life? Acres of Diamonds challenges this notion with a message that has resonated for over a century. Delivered as a lecture more than 6,000 times across America, Russell Conwell's message became one of the most influential self-improvement works ever created. Warren Buffett credits it as a formative influence, while countless entrepreneurs have found inspiration in its pages. What makes this slim volume so powerful is its radical yet simple premise. The opportunities for success aren't in distant places, but right where you stand. Originally delivered to fund Temple University's founding, this message feels surprisingly relevant in our era of constant FOMO and grass is greener thinking. Perhaps we need this wisdom now more than ever. At the heart of Conwell's philosophy is a story about an African farmer who sold his farm to search for diamonds across the continent, ultimately drowning himself in despair. Meanwhile, the new owner discovered one of Africa's richest diamond mines on that very property. This tale serves as a powerful metaphor. Many believe success must be elsewhere while remaining blind to opportunities beneath their feet. Conwell witnessed this repeatedly. Shopkeepers abandoning profitable businesses for gold rush dreams, farmers leaving fertile land for uncertain city fortunes. The parable's strength lies in its universality. We chase Silicon Valley riches while overlooking local needs. We fantasize about exotic ventures when our existing skills might yield greater rewards if properly leveraged. The mechanic dreams of tech startups while ignoring potential in his repair shop. The teacher envisions remote work while sitting on valuable educational expertise. Conwell wasn't suggesting literal diamonds exist on everyone's property, but that opportunities exist within our current circumstances, if we have the wisdom to recognize them. Conwell addresses a critical biblical misquotation. The Bible warns that the love of money is the root of all evil, not money itself, a distinction fundamental to his philosophy that creating wealth through honest service is virtuous. Money is morally neutral, a tool capable of building hospitals or funding exploitation. Our relationship with it matters. The miser hoarding wealth embodies the condemned love of money, while the entrepreneur creating wealth by solving problems demonstrates stewardship. Most provocatively, he suggests creating wealth through honest service is a moral obligation. A business operating for decades without significant profit represents waste, squandered opportunities that could have employed others and solved problems. This challenges both the ascetic tradition suspicious of profit and exploitative practices that create wealth through manipulation. Conwell argues that lack of capital is an advantage, not an obstacle. "I say that you ought to get rich, and it is your duty to get rich," he declares, "because properly used wealth becomes a powerful tool for good." Inherited wealth often proves more curse than blessing. He observes that not one rich man's son in 17 dies rich, as privilege frequently stunts character development. Building from nothing teaches lessons that can't be purchased. A.T. Stewart exemplifies this principle. Starting with just $1.50, Stewart learned to first ask people what they needed before investing his remaining 612 cents. This approach, understanding customer needs before creating solutions, built his eventual $40 million fortune. Starting small necessitates listening. Without capital to waste, entrepreneurs must identify genuine needs before investing resources. Limited resources also force creativity. Conwell describes a poor carpenter who whittled wooden toys from firewood while unemployed. By observing what delighted his children, he created products others would enjoy, eventually building a $100 million business. His advantage wasn't capital, but insight into children's preferences. The heart of Conwell's entrepreneurial philosophy is deceptively simple. True innovation comes from carefully observing everyday problems. This approach democratizes entrepreneurship, making it accessible to anyone with attentive eyes and a problem-solving mindset. John Jacob Astor exemplifies this principle. When foreclosing on a millinery shop, he studied women's fashion preferences from park benches. By observing confident women wearing particular bonnet styles and replicating only designs people demonstrated interest in, he transformed the business without additional investment. This methodology, observing real behavior rather than asking hypothetical questions, anticipated modern design thinking by over a century. Astor understood that behavior reveals genuine preferences people often can't articulate. Conwell challenges the myth that innovation requires exceptional intelligence. The greatest inventors, he argues, are distinguished by practical common sense and attentiveness to everyday problems. Women inventors feature prominently in his examples, including one who created the snap button after frustration with her collar button. These stories highlight how innovation springs from personal frustration with daily inconveniences, experiences we're all qualified to observe. Conwell challenges the geographical cure, the belief that success awaits elsewhere rather than through self-development where we stand. This fallacy manifests when students think happiness lies in another city, or entrepreneurs believe their ideas would only thrive in Silicon Valley. His evidence is compelling. Of 107 millionaires in 1889 New York, only 7 built their fortunes there. Most created wealth in small towns with fewer than 3,500 residents before moving to the city. This geographical fallacy often excuses inaction. Believing success requires relocation spares us from developing skills where we are. It's easier to blame our location than confront our limitations or recognize nearby opportunities. Those who disparage their communities create a self-fulfilling prophecy. When we believe our area lacks opportunity, we stop seeking it. The solution is developing a growth mindset about our current location, focusing on its unique needs rather than limitations. In our digital era, where work increasingly transcends location, Conwell's insight remains relevant. The greatest advantage isn't where we live, but our ability to spot opportunity wherever we are. Conwell concludes with his most challenging assertion: greatness isn't just a possibility, but a duty, one fulfilled through extraordinary service in ordinary situations. Greatness must happen here and now in your own city, Conwell insists. The person who improves their community's streets, schools, or quality of life embodies true greatness regardless of recognition. This localized focus measures impact by depth of influence rather than geographical scale. This approach democratizes greatness. The teacher transforming students' lives, the business owner creating meaningful employment, the neighbor building community, all potentially embody greatness through their impact on immediate surroundings. The immediacy of this call, begin where you are, now, eliminates excuses for delay. We needn't wait for different circumstances or formal authority. Greatness begins with maximizing our present influence. Conwell suggests that greatness means becoming a blessing in your own community, whatever your occupation, transcending professional categories. A century later, this conclusion both challenges and liberates. The acres of diamonds aren't just opportunities for wealth, but for meaning, the chance to create value exactly where we stand.